Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And friends, right now we're in the midst of a Shepherd's Conference where we are working with fathers, sons, men from around the country. We've got some 60 men. We're really focusing on a relational form of discipleship and doing lots and lots of teaching from the Word of God and lots of teaching on the issues of fatherhood and what it is to be a father and how to restore fatherhood in the 21st century, as well as developing strong theological and worldview bases for future leaders, fathers, pastors, elders, leaders of this country. And Dave Buhner also in studio with me, and we happen to be in a bedroom in the house as one of the bedrooms, or our studio is turned into another bedroom. Well, Dave, good news here in the state of Colorado. It appears as of Tuesday, the recall election went in the favor of liberty. It's exciting to see that the two tyrants that did everything they could to take away gun rights and to take away family rights, parental rights, and to bring in as much immorality and decadence and homosexuality into the state as they possibly could, these candidates from Colorado Springs and Pueblo bit the dust in the recall election, largely because of the position they took on guns in the last legislative session.
I think the gun issue was the straw that broke the camel's back. I think there were other issues, though, Kevin. I think especially for Angela Huron, or Giron, however she pronounces it, in Pueblo, it was largely because she just simply was ignoring and being rude to her constituents. The very people who put her there, she was not caring a whit about what they had to say to her, and it made one plumber so upset, he started a recall petition.
And, you know, friends, tyrants typically are rude. Tyrants are rude. People who take away freedoms, people who tax the living daylights out of the citizenry, and they could care less about the rights and the freedoms of the citizenry, whether it be the right to own guns or whether it be the right to decide their what kind of medical care their children should have. And of course, what happened in the last legislative session is these Democrats took away parental freedoms to determine whether or not their children could use alternative medication, right? Alternative medicines, as in herbs, et cetera, et cetera. So they took away as many freedoms as possible from parents and from innocent citizens around the state of Colorado. And as you said, Dave, they're also very rude people. And it's not unusual. Tyrants typically are very rude. Oftentimes they sever heads and throw people into fires and things. So it's not unusual where tyrants are rude. People who love big government and do the best they can to aggrandize big government at the cost of the innocent citizens who are being taxed to, you know, 40, 50, 60% of the gross national income. Tyrants are rude. Tyrants are really rude. They don't see themselves as civil servants. And why would they still see themselves as civil servants when they're consuming 60 to 70% of the gross national income? Hey, they're God now. Well, they're the big socialist Marxist dictators now.
They're the enlightened ones here to guide all of us poor people who are in the dark. They're the ones who have been ordained as princes for the rest of society to follow. Look, last legislative session in Colorado was a train wreck. I mean, a real train wreck. What we had was one party in control of all of the branches of government in Colorado. They had both houses of our bicameral legislature. They came to Denver, where our capital is, drunk and intoxicated. They couldn't wait. The first day, they went to pass a civil union bill for homosexuals. By the way, a bill that had been defeated twice earlier. Mm-hmm. But this was their chance, and they weren't going to lose their chance. And ginned up on their hubris, that was the very first thing they did.
But you're
and
saying,
then they went after guns, and they went after taxes, and they went after election fraud. Well, they actually paved the way for election fraud.
They overplayed their hand. That's what they did.
Drunks often say things that they regret later, and that was what was happening in the Capitol.
The Democrats took over, friends, and they do what Democrats do best. They do everything they can to tax the living daylights out of the people. They increase the control over the average person, especially if it's the innocent citizens. Now, if it's the decadent, if it's the people that are violating God's laws, then they're going to give them as many special rights as possible. But if there's anybody out there who's just trying to defend their families and trying to choose the right kind of medication for their kids, and they're caring parents who just want a few freedoms to be good parents and to have access to guns to protect their families, then they're going to tyrannize the innocent citizens. This is what the liberals do. And as it turns out, they overplayed their hands because they tried to take guns away from cowboys. And Dave, you never take guns away from cowboys. Think about El Paso County and Pueblo. I mean, Dave, we're not talking about Denver and Boulder here. We're not talking about, you know, the tight-waisted little fascist, Nazi, socialist, Marxist.
Right. We're not talking about the metrosexual area.
No. We're talking about the Cowboys. They're in boots. They're in leathers, and they're going to want to shoot a gun from time to time.
And Kevin, it's not just what they did, it's how they did it. At the Capitol, it was one party rule. It was absolutely one party fiat rule.
Yeah.
Republicans could not amend bills, were not allowed to even be in part of the discussions. They were just told to sit in their little places and to take it. Not just the Republicans, though. It was the citizens. And in the gun legislation, it was the sheriffs. The sheriffs wanted to come in and they wanted to contribute to the discussion. They believed there was something that needed to be fixed with these bills or to make the bills better. And the sheriffs were not allowed to even talk on the floor of the Senate to these senators, and that upset them. And, you know, my sheriff, who's the sheriff of El Paso County in Colorado Springs, he was not only advocating for the recall, but he led 85% of the sheriffs in Colorado to challenge the gun bill at the court level, saying that not only is it unenforceable and not only will it not make us any safer, but he believes it's unconstitutional.
All eyes of the nation are upon Colorado, the swing state. I referred to this last week. Remember the Economist article out of London called Colorado the swing state for the entire United States. And that, of course, is one of the reasons why we are broadcasting from the very thick of it in the state of Colorado out in the Eastern Plains here. And friends, apparently the Democrats here in Colorado overplayed their hand. And it wasn't quite so easy to bring total tyranny upon America. This is the New York Times commenting again on what happened on Tuesday in Colorado. The vote, which came 5 months after the United States Senate defeated several gun restrictions, handed another loss to gun control supporters that gave moderate lawmakers across the country, here it is, a warning about a political risks of voting for tougher gun laws. Dave, political risks going after guns. And I think because, number one, America cares about guns. It made it into the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And Americans are cowboys. They've been watching cowboy movies since the 1930s. Americans like their guns. And you take away their guns, you pry it from their cold, dead fingers.
That's what Charlton Heston said. Now, Charlton Heston's dead, so they probably did pry one from his cold dead fingers. Look, right now, it sends a shockwave to the political system across America. Colorado was supposed to be the example of how to get gun control through when you have Democrats in charge. It was going to be an example for places like Pennsylvania, for places like Florida that were thinking about moving away from some of their prior legislation and starting to restrict guns. It now moves guns to the third rail. That electric rail that if you touch it, you get hurt. All across the nation today, Democrats are saying, do not make me vote on gun legislation.
Yeah.
Because if I have to vote on it, I lose either way.
That's right. So I think guns are going to be off the table for a long time, thankfully. And here's why, Dave. I had an interview with Larry Pratt. Do you remember from the...
Rocky Mountain Gun Owners.
Rocky Mountain Gun Owners and Gun Owners of America. Larry Pratt told me, and I think it was his son, Eric, that chimed in on this one, told me that there were two freedoms that have been restored in America since the 1970s. Now, we've lost freedoms just about everywhere else. And I've whined about that a few times on the program, as many of you know. But there are two freedoms that have been retained since the 1960s and 1970s. And friends, that's gun rights and homeschooling rights in the United States of America, which means that there is somewhat of an island of freedom still in the United States of America for those fathers who want to protect their children or their families physically from the bad guys and spiritually from the bad guys if they want to give their kids a proper worldview and protect them from the cultural influences and educational influences that inculcate the wrong worldviews in the public schools today. So if you want to raise your children properly and protect your families, you can in the United States of America. Thank God. God is providing, I think, somewhat of an island of freedom in America for families who want to protect their families physically from harm and also spiritually from harm. And that is one of the reasons why, man, we've got some freedoms here in America. We still got gun freedoms and we still have some freedoms to homeschool our kids in all 50 states, thanks to Homeschool Legal Defense Association and the grace of God. And Dave, I don't mind living here. I'm thankful for what we have. And let's face it, there's a battle going on here, but we've been winning some battles here and there, and we need to give God the credit for that.
The birds were singing a little sweeter this morning. that they were. And yet we have to understand this. We didn't win anything. This Colorado Senate is still a majority controlled by the Democrats by one vote.
Yep,
now they're scared.
Yep.
They can't act quite as drunk as they did last year.
Yep.
Secondly, the gun legislation was signed into law. I believe this was the first legislative session in Colorado history. I could be wrong on this, but I believe it is correct that the governor didn't veto one bill.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll happen again.
Right. The governor was completely on board with the whole agenda, and he did everything he could to violate freedoms and to encourage decadence in this state.
And the governor's not term limited out yet. So that means that the governor is going to have to moderate his position.
It's going to be a fight uphill, but let me tell you, my friend Dudley Brown, who is part of Rocky Mountain Gun Owners, and he's tasted blood, and he's going to run for broke, Dave, in this next 2014 election. And you know that every single rural district in which there was a Democrat or a liberal Republican that went for the gun control laws, they're going down. They're going down in the rural districts. Granted, Denver will remain liberal. Granted, Boulder will remain liberal. But Dave, it's okay, one blue city or two blue cities against the rest of Colorado.
But Pueblo's in play, which is the first time ever.
That's big time, big time. And partially because Pueblo is still somewhat rural, and people, I think, still understand the value of owning and carrying or bearing arms. And friends, those freedoms are still precious to those of us out west. Not to the Denverites, not to the big blue cities, not to the big blue cities like Boulder that contains the Blue University, which is typical. Anywhere there's Blue Universities, blue cities, there's going to be a trend towards violating freedoms and working very hard to establish a Nazi government or a massive socialist government of some sort. But the rural areas will, I think, declare war on the cities, Dave. I'm speaking metaphorically, of course. And I think the next election is going to be fun.
Well, the next election will be important. Understand that last night, not only were two Democrat gun-grabbing tyrants removed from office, but they were replaced last night with Republicans. Bernie Herpin in Colorado and George Rivera in Pueblo.
Okay.
I don't know much about George, but I'll tell you, Bernie is a guy in Colorado Springs. He is a strong social conservative, an anti-abortion, anti-pornography. I mean, this guy is, he's been criticized for wanting to take away a woman's right to kill her baby, for instance.
Okay.
If you read, especially what the progressives, the liberals are saying about him, they're coming unhinged because this guy is antithetical to what they're about.
We were having a good time listening to excerpts from Huffington Post and some of the liberal media. Dave, I don't know if you have any of those, but they're whining about what happened in the recall elections just yesterday in Colorado. Ladies and gentlemen, good news in the ongoing battle for faith, freedom, and family in the state of Colorado, the great swing state of the United States of America, and we are right on the front lines of the War of the World News reporting, and I'll be back in just a moment. Friends to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you as we continue through the news. And friends, good news happening here in Colorado, at least for the time being, as it appears that Coloradans are moving back towards center, which may mean that we may be able to defend a few more rights or freedoms and defend some principles of God's Word here in the state of Colorado in upcoming legislative sessions. Well, Dave, here is something that I think is important. This is a national issue that affects certainly our families and our ladies and possibly even our daughters in years to come. The Marine Corps has now opened infantry training to enlisted women. The Marine Corps will allow enlisted women to participate in basic infantry training beginning this fall. I guess that means right now, as part of an ongoing research to determine what additional ground combat jobs may open to female personnel. New female enlisted Marines will volunteer for spots in the service's infantry training battalion, mirroring a related effort allowing new female lieutenants to enroll in the Corps Infantry Officer Training Course, according to an official planning document obtained by Marine Corps Times. Well, Dave, my guess is that the Marine Corps Officer Training Program does not include references to Deuteronomy 20.
I'm guessing it probably doesn't have much for biblical references. That's just a wild guess. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would bet a Coke on it.
There's been a fair amount more persecution also of men in the armed forces who have taken any kind of a position against homosexuality. Remember this 19-year-old recruit that apparently is in trouble because he wouldn't endorse the homosexual wedding of his corporal or whoever it was who tried to marry, I guess, her partner in the armed forces. So, Dave, I mean, this is a bad time for the armed forces, opening the doors to homosexuals, to women. Dave, it looks to me like what used to be the conservative element of a nation is now turning into a liberal element of the nation, which means that the armed forces of the future will probably not be able to do what it takes to sustain an empire. This is what happened to Rome. You remember, Dave? This is exactly what happened to the Roman Empire. It was the military that defended the Roman Empire for an additional 100 years before, you know, after people had lost the will to live and it was all bread and games. The military was still a little bit conservative and defended the empire for an additional, 75 years. But by the time you hit 475, the military itself had lost the will to defend the nation.
Once you have an empire, you need the military to keep the empire. And once you lose the military, you lose the empire. It's pretty simple. But the military has no longer been given and tasked with the idea of defense. It's now an equal opportunity jobs corps program. And that's the way they view it. Why shouldn't a woman be in combat? If she wants to be in combat, why not let her? And soon will not be if she wants to be. It's just she has to do her fair share. We can see this. It's as clear as day. They've lost their minds.
And Dave, obviously it's homosexuality and feminism that is undermining a biblical social system, undermining the military, undermining an empire. Of course, you know, the liberals don't believe this. The liberals do not agree with us that the progressive ideas of homosexuality and feminism are doing any damage to the social structure of a country. And, oh, yes, I guess there was the problem of birth implosions. Oh, yes, there is a little problem of divorce and children born out of wedlock. And, yes, you know, children are very rarely raised with mother and father in the nuclear family. But, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Everything's breaking down in terms of each successive generation. But they're still hanging on to the idea that these social systems are halfway decent. Well, what does the Bible say about social roles and about a social system? And we use the Bible as a means of determining what a social system ought to be. And Deuteronomy 20 verses 5 through 10 is pretty clear that a man has got to be the guy that enlists in the army. What man is there that hath a betrothed wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. Okay, Dave, I guess that assumes that the man is a man. And he's married a wife. The man who is enlisted is a man who's taken a wife. Moreover, Nehemiah chapter 5 speaks of fighting for your wives, for your sons and your daughters. Dave, again and again throughout Scripture, the assumption is, the command is that men be enlisted in the armed forces and not women. And when you see women fighting, and when you see women leading, Dave, what you're doing, I think, is you're undermining basic humanity. What makes us human? What makes a man a man? Dave, I mean, think about this for a moment. Let's say that a family heard somebody scraping on the window, and a bad guy was trying to enter the house, and the father sends the 2-year-old out as a human shield to protect him from the bad guy. Okay. In other words, the man doesn't want to defend his family. He sends his 2-year-old out instead, reminiscent of what happened with Lot and what happened with the Levite when he sent his concubine out to meet the raging mob of homosexuals. Dave, reminiscent of what happens when a man abandons all sense of humanity and allows his 2-year-old little girl or little boy to be a human shield. Something similar happens when you toss your daughters out to defend the nation. Wouldn't you say, Dave, is that an adequate comparison? Sending a 2-year-old out to be a human shield as the bad guys take pot shots at you in your home, I would say that would be an absence of humanity. That would be a breakdown of manhood, a breakdown of morality, a breakdown of everything that makes us human.
It certainly degrades both the feminine and the masculine virtues of each respective party. Women become less feminine. They don't get to celebrate motherhood and their attributes of femininity when they're out in fatigues and they're marching around and they're shooting at us, it's just not helpful to that. But more than that, for men, it emasculates them. They're no longer doing what they were called to do. They're no longer protectors. They're no longer standing in the gap for women, and they lose purpose. They lose meaning. And that's exactly what Kipling said. You know, your women will have no more children, and men will lose meaning. And that this is what's happening. It also, you know, pragmatically speaking, weakens the defense of a nation. You have all kinds of real problems with men and women in a foxhole together, or men still having this inclination to want to sacrifice to save women. And by the way, I don't think that we should try and stop that. I think if there's a woman in your unit, you happen to be in the Marines, you should do what you can to protect her. And if you're a lieutenant or a sergeant and you have men and women under you, you may not have been able to choose that you have women under you. But you ought to put the woman in the safest place possible, because chivalry, or the biblical requirement that men protect women, is still in force.
What do Christians say from a Christian perspective, from a Christian worldview perspective, when men and women in a society are reduced to cannibalism, or when men are reduced to sending their women into combat? What do you say about a society that reduces itself to cannibalism, to cannibalizing their own children, or to sending their women out to combat to defend the nation? What do you say about a society like that, but that the judgment of God or the curse of God is upon a society of that sort? And friends, this is where we're headed as a society, and I think the church needs to lay this out in front of the congregation. And Dave, I think it's important to be sure that everybody belongs, or any Christian family belongs, to a church that conscientiously objects to the sort of thing of drafting their daughters into combat.
Not only do I say that they should resist drafting, but there's no business for a father to let his daughter, to send his daughter, to allow his daughter to join the military. She doesn't belong there.
Okay, my friends, and I know people are saying, wow, you guys are limiting the gender roles of women and men. Hey, we're using scripture. Hey, we disagree with a society that is egalitarian, yes, but in the process destroys its families, destroys its marriages, destroys the notion of fatherhood, destroys the notion of manhood, and winds up with a society where 61% of the millennial generation, women are the primary breadwinners, and only 17 to 18% of men are the primary breadwinners in the millennial generation. Friends, we're just against that, okay? And we're against it because we've seen the destruction of biblical roles for males and females in society and family, in church, in the armed forces, in politics. And this, my friends, is indicating a breakdown of our present systems. Dave, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a woman who took over the ELCA as the new leader of the ELCA. You remember that? And I think I mentioned wrongly that she was the first female leader of a major denomination in America. Not so. It turns out there is another female leader, and I think we had mentioned this on a previous broadcast some 4 to 5 years ago. Catherine Jeffords Shorey has been the presiding bishop of the Episcopalian Church since 2006, and she has not done a very good job. At least if the standard is biblical ethics, at least if the standard is let's maintain a biblical law order and a biblical discipline in churches. It was the Episcopalian Church that went for the female leader of the entire denomination in 2006. And now the ELCA has done the very same thing. And Dave, these, again, indications that we are seeing the breakdown of society, the Isaiah 3 curse on society where women and children lead. And that has been clearly defined by the prophet Isaiah as a negative condition for a nation. When you look around and you happen to see women fighting your wars and women leading your churches and women leading your denominations and men playing video games while Rome burns, friends, that would be bad news for an entire empire, okay?
Kevin, you can look at the military thing. I'd point you to Numbers chapter 1. Lord speaks to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, and he says, take a census of the congregation of the people of Israel by clans, by fathers and houses, according to the numbers of names of every male, head by head, from 20 years old and upward, all in Israel, who are able to go to war.
Well, there it is again. Again, the biblical standard. Every male. Biblical standard, every male. Males. This is nothing for the females.
And by the way, Kevin, as you know, I wrote a paper for my denomination that is going to be considered and hopefully adopted here, that argues against women in any role in the military, certainly against combat. What the Marines are doing is they're ignoring God's created order. God created an order. He made things for a purpose. He made your feet to walk on. He made your hands to grab things. He made your nose to smell, and he made your ears to hear. We're now trying to turn the ear into a nose and the nose into an ear. And I dare say that Mr. Potato Head aside, you can put them in the right hole or the wrong hole, but the nose will not hear and the ear will not smell.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to defend some semblance of a Christian order, a moral order, a civilization for generations to come. And we're doing so by fighting the good battles for the right for fathers to be able to own guns and defend their families, for the right to homeschool. And friends, if we do not retain the right to keep our daughters out of the draft, out of the military, we're going to be in significant trouble. This, my friends, is a significant issue. It's one of the top three issues in the fight for liberty in the 21st century for any family who wants to retain something of a Christian social order, something of a Christian family, a nuclear family that is still retaining something of a biblical order in the years to come. So we're fighting good fight on this radio program and bringing these issues to the forefront day by day. I hope this has been helpful for you. Let's continue to discuss these things in our churches, and hopefully pastors will preach on these issues on a regular basis, even though it may be a bit offensive to some who are committed to the destruction of our social order and our civilizations. But who cares? I'm past caring on that.
Well, it's not like we're offensive, so they can take comfort in that.
Yeah. All right. Little offense here and there may be in order, my friends. You can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.